Welcome to Gary England's Last Storm. This is Dave.
And this is Mark. And today we're going to be talking about the upcoming game against the Chicago Bulls at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we're really excited about this game. It'll be great to see Coach Don on the other sidelines, kind of get a good chance to see what he's been able to do with Chicago and how far we have come as a team in the last year.
Yeah, I'm excited because it's a great game for our team to have kind of a little bit of an easier game compared to what our schedule's been like and what's coming up. So this is a great game for us to show what we've learned.
Yeah, we're definitely highlighting the matchup of Zach LaVine and Dort. We believe that this is going to be a highlight to watch tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us for Gary England's Last Storm. Well, I just want to get started with something that one of our followers on Twitter, Cray Allred of DailyThunder.com, a point he made to us, which was pointing out how bad our offense is, trying to prove that we are, in fact, a tanking team and trying to highlight that we aren't actually trying to compete. And I think that's such a negative mindset, and that's just such a classic mindset of people who want to see bad things happen, is that they look for negativity. And if you want to look for something positive in that, you could say, well, we have a pretty good record and we're not doing that great offensively as far as our efficiency. So it can only get better with time as we build chemistry. Or you could say, oh, that proves that we're going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, we can only get better as a team, as a unit. So I don't understand why everybody's ready to just throw this team under the bus.
Yeah, I struggle at listening or even watching anything related to the Thunder because I feel like even ESPN people are making fun of the Thunder for sucking at tanking. And I don't know, I'm just really passionate about this team. I feel that we have a very good squad this year. Mark and I have been very vocal about this team not tanking. And it doesn't mean that this team is not going to end up with a top 12 pick. But what we are saying is they're not going for a top 3 pick. And that is the essence of what tanking is. It's going for a top 3 pick, and that's not what the Thunder, we see the Thunder doing right this year.
I'll just say something to Andrew Schleck back. If you want to cheer for a team that gets number 1 picks, go cheer for a different team. But, I mean, the Thunder's not that team. If you're so committed to lusting after those college freshmen, go cheer for a team that gets them every year. Go cheer for the Timberwolves. The Thunder's not your team. I'm sorry. It's just not. So, yeah, I mean, get over it. It's your fantasy. You masquerade as a reporter. You have no journalistic integrity. When you spend all your time fantasizing and making your fan base stupider, and that's all that happens. And I'm just telling you, like, there's nobody within the Oklahoma City Tank Commanders really understands the difference between tanking and rebuilding. So that's the problem. And we're not tanking. We weren't tanking. We're not going to tank. We've never tanked. Tanking has never worked. We're rebuilding. When you don't know the difference, then you're just ignorant. And if you hear the difference and you choose to carry on with your choice, but it's not an opinion. It's ignorant.
Yeah, it really is. And I think this goes right to where our point about starting this whole podcast goes back to, is we want to be able to educate the Oklahoma City people, Oklahoma City Thunder fans, and educate them in the way that showing them the difference between rebuilding and tanking. Because right now, Oklahoma City fans are like, oh, yeah, we're cool with the tank. We're cool with the tank. But they have no idea what the definition of tank versus rebuild is.
Right. It means that we're going to spend years hating even seeing the Thunder logo anywhere. That's what tanking means. It means painful, nasty, stinky. It's like getting sprayed with a skunk. Like, the worst part is not getting hit with a spray. The worst part is what happens afterwards when you can't get the stench to go away. And that's what losing does to a franchise and an organization. And I'm telling you right now, the reason there's so much negativity, it's very simple. The Oklahoma City media, the Thunder media, is a cesspool of complacency because they have fallen in love with covering the top picks. They love covering Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. It made them famous. They got great jobs. now that everybody knows their names. And so to them, having a team of hard workers, blue-collar players, and incremental improvement, that's boring. That won't make them any more famous. Andrew Schleck can't go, you know, move up from The Athletic to ESPN under that. And Royce Young, he's not going to be able to take Brian Windhorst's job doing it that way. Like, there's no upward mobility if the team isn't sexy. And so they've convinced everybody to cheer for losing. Like, I heard on Down to Dunk today, I mean, I had to turn it off because it was just, like, the first half was, like, the normal bullshit where they're just, like, joking about non-basketball stuff. And then when they finally did start talking about basketball, they started talking about Cade Cunningham and started listing off all the top picks. And then it was just, like, somebody was like, Andrew, would you rather the first and the 10th pick or the third and the 5th pick? And he couldn't shut up talking about how all he wanted was Cade Cunningham. All he wanted was the number one pick. Sam Presti to have the number one pick. Like, he's just delusional. When you think about, like there, to achieve that, like, it's one thing if you want that, okay? It's another thing to understand what it takes to achieve that and to be willing to put that onto a franchise, into a fan base. It just shows ignorance. And it can act like it's sophistication, but I don't care if anybody tries to convince you that losing is good, they're a loser, and they can try to convince you that they're sophisticated, but just look at their track record. They were wrong last year when it came to trading Chris Paul and the team really having the ability to make the playoffs. They were wrong the year before about the Russ and Paul George teams. They were wrong. They've been wrong every year. Ever since they felt like we couldn't make it to the finals, they've been cheering for a tank job so they could get the next Kevin Durant. And the reason is because they love Kevin Durant. And the sad thing is Kevin Durant never loved them as much as they loved him. And the thing is, Russ, he loved the Oklahoma City fan base. The fan base never could love him as much, and it was the media's fault. It wasn't the fan base's. It was the media for miseducating, creating dumber fans, and I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to call it for what it is. Like, I'm sorry if you can't handle it, but you're criticizing people who are in college who are a hell of a lot better at their job than you are at your job. And if you can't handle somebody saying the truth and just calling it for what it is, then don't listen. I exist. You know I exist. You know that we're here. If you want to ignore us, that's fine. It's not going to make us go away. The storm will keep brewing, and we're coming because the truth is it's bullshit, and we have two things that we want to focus on. We want to focus on our team, and we want to focus on the way the media is trashing our team. That's it. We have two things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think one thing that everybody keeps kind of telling us over and over and over again, the only way to successfully tank and have a good team after tanking is by getting a top or a bunch of top three picks, top four picks, top five picks, whatever their preference is. But we have to reiterate here that pure talent isn't always in the top five picks of the draft. It's just not. What it is pure
Steph Curry,
development.
Pick seven.
Pick
you know
seven.
What I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yes, you're right. Players like LeBron James, players like Michael Jordan, players like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden, yes, 90% of the time they're going to be in the top part of the draft. But guess what? Those 10% that slip by, those are the guys that we think our GM, which we're all about Sam. We're all about the love of Sam right now. Our GM, our player development coaches, will focus on those guys, and those are the guys that we can pick up in the draft, whether it's Poku at 17 or whether it's Maladone in the 30s. The point is our guys, our coaches, they recognize the pure talent on the board, and they go after that. And that's one thing that we have consistently said is we need to sit back and let Sam do his job and support this team while they're going through a change.
Right, and so what you always end up hearing is the same mentality of like, well, we just really want that top pick. But the top pick doesn't lead to winning. So that's not what it's about. Some organizations it does, but they're not usually the tanking organizations. Tanking organizations don't simply get one top pick and stop tanking. Okay, tanking is a practice of acquiring the most assets. And once you have the most assets, then you go to compete. So I just think it's very confusing for some people. It seems to be like they've been convinced that they're the same thing, but they're not. See, okay, so if you're tanking, right? You do want to rebuild because you went into the tank and you want to rebuild out of the tank. But if you're rebuilding, it doesn't mean that you go into the tank. It means you make decisions that are better for the long term. And the difference will come down to, and it will be proven out through the season, what do we do? Do we get rid of our good veterans to make the product on the court non-competitive? That is by the definition of tanking. Okay? Do we go out of our way to make our team non-competitive? Because if we do that, then we are tanking. If we keep a competitive product out there, then we're not tanking. And that's why I love playing against the Bulls. The Bulls are what you might call going for it this year. For them, that means make it to the playoffs or nothing. Like, their playoffs are bust, okay? And they're going for it, right? If we beat them, then we are either not tanking or we're doing a bad job at tanking, okay? Some people would say we're just doing a bad job at tanking. Like you said, ESPN is mocking us because they think that we're just doing a bad job at tanking. But you and I are like, no, we're not tanking. And Sam Presti only holds one press conference before the year, and people don't ask him the appropriate questions. And when they do, he talks in code, so nobody just understands what he says. So it's left up to interpretation. So I'm telling you right now, he's never said tanking. He's never said tanking. He said retool. He said similar words to rebuild, okay? But he did not say tank. Tank is a word that has been perpetuated by the Oklahoma City media, and we're just calling it for what it is. And the reason that there's such a big problem with it, if you haven't picked this up yet, is because it stops the fans from cheering for this team. It makes them go do other stuff, not watch the game, not care about it, not care because they think this team is a loser. And that's just a loser mentality. It's un-Oklahoma. It's un-Oklahoman. It's un-American. It's just not right. It's not how you treat your family or your friends or anything. And I don't care how many times Down to Dunk says, no, you have to want to win so much that you're okay with losing. Like, I'm not saying, like, that's bullshit, okay? That's bullshit. They don't know what they're talking about, okay? You can tell, we don't have the greatest audio because we're new to podcasts, okay? They have experience with podcasts, but we're not new to basketball. Okay, we've been around the game our whole lives. We know plenty about basketball, and I just want to make, there is a significant difference. They are casual fans who like to talk about basketball, but really don't know anything about it. They really don't, and they masquerade it. And so they've been able to create a whole bunch of, I don't know, minions, a whole bunch of just bullshit artists who go around and repeat their lines. And so I'm here for all of them. If anybody has anything they want to say to me, that's it. Let's talk. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm here to educate ignorance. And if you still want to be ignorant after you're done talking to me, that's your choice. But you cannot call a tank a rebuild or a rebuild a tank if you don't know the right way to use that word. And you can't call an apple an orange and run around and try to hope that it turns it into an orange. You need to understand that words have meaning. Pull up a dictionary, look up a definition, figure it out for yourselves. It's not that bad. So when we play the Bulls tonight and we kick their asses and everybody goes, oh, the Thunder are really bad at tanking, and all the tankers are mourning another win, you can tell. And I'm telling you right now, it's a vocal minority who wants to lose. The majority wants to win. The majority wants to win. We want to cheer for winners. Nobody wants to cheer for losing. So let them have the losers.
Yeah, and let's just echo at this moment, just like we're not some little kids on a microphone, 23-year-old kid on a microphone that just graduated high school and working through college and all this other stuff. Like, we're legitimate. Like, we've had over 17 years of coaching experience, combined years of coaching experience. We've coached and helped develop players throughout their lives. We've helped coach and develop Blake Griffin as a young player. We helped coach and develop Taylor Griffin as a young player when he was younger. We've also had an incredible experience when we were younger. In 1995, our father made a decision to make one of the greatest memorabilia projects ever. And it's the greatest. I think it's the greatest sports project ever completed. In 1995 or 1996, there was the NBA at 50, and my dad got this brilliant idea that he would get all of them to sign a set of basketballs. So for the next 20 years, Mark and I drove around the country signing these unbelievable basketball players, spending time with them, talking to them, understanding how they were able to, whether it was Dominique Wilkins, whether it was John Stockton, whether it was Karl Malone, we were able to sit down with these guys and talk to them for many, many hours about sports, about how they were drafted, who they were drafted by and traded by, and who they decided to go for free agency. We spent hours upon hours upon hours tearing this stuff down with NBA greats. And that's why we get so frustrated when these young 20-something-year-olds get online and they think they know everything about basketball because they followed the Thunder for 4 years now. And we're like, holy cow, we have over 25-plus years of experience with hanging out with NBA greats. Like, doesn't that should be able to say, hey, you know, we're legit. We can talk about this stuff. These other guys, like, I mean, what? They took a Royce Young video that said, hey, this is how you cover the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, that shit doesn't count.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's boring. And they all repeat the same lines. So
over, over, and over again. And it's just like a freaking miracle round with these guys. They start saying it, and then they can't stop it. And then they have to prove it that they were right. Because if they go back on their word halfway through, then all of a sudden they don't look as legitimate. So for me, looking at these guys and understanding that, you know, and it brings up a really good point that I would like to talk about for a second is, you know, Mark and I, in 2004, we did a pretty big trip from Oklahoma City to Spokane, and we went out to meet a recently retired John Stockton to sign him on the 50 greatest basketball set that my dad and us have started. So when we went out there, we get out there and we recognize that, you know, John's just a family guy. He's one of those guys that had nine kids at the time. He rode up in a bike that had a baby carriage in the front and a baby carriage in the back. So you could tell that he has been spending time with his family nonstop. And so we get there and we're getting done with the basketballs. And Mark asked John a really good question when John asked if we wanted autographs. What was that question, Mark?
Right. So Karl Malone at that point refused to do any signings for anybody. So we couldn't complete the project without getting Karl Malone. So we just asked John if he would go ahead and talk to Carl, let him know, like, we're professionals, that we handle our business properly, and that we just need him to, you know, take 30 minutes of his time to help us complete the project. So whenever we were, you know, done, you know, we asked him that, and he said yes, he would do that for us, and we believed him, and it was important to us because, like I said, we couldn't finish the project without Carl, and he wouldn't do it. So eventually we got the call from Carl's agent, and, you know, he asked us to go down to Newport Beach, California, and to meet up there at Dwight Manley's office. And we sat down, and, you know, we got there, and I asked Carl, like, why did you do this? Why did you agree to do it? And he said, well, I was at John's number retiring ceremony in Salt Lake City, and afterwards John pulled me aside, and he asked if I would do this project for him. And I said I couldn't say no to John, so, you know, that's why I said yes. And, you know, I realized at that moment that John threw, you know, he threw us one last assist to Karl Malone, and I really appreciated that. I've always been appreciative of that. It's something that has meant a lot to us and to our family, and it's something like, it's one of those things where I look at in our time spent with Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Patrick Ewing, Billy Cunningham, Lenny Wilkins, Shaq, all these people that we got to spend so much time with and, you know, just really become good friends with, like Scottie Pippen and stuff. And, you know, it became like this thing where I realized that these people were really good people. And I, you know, and they're really, that's the thing. Anytime that you hear somebody who is new to covering the NBA, they're always surprised that the people they're covering are actually people.
Like, but human beings, right?
Right, and that's what I noticed, and that's what that level of disrespect from Royce Young, from Barry Trammell, from the other Oklahoma City media that was given to Russell Westbrook that forced him to be so bitter and so angry and develop such a hard defense. And look, I don't feel bad for Russ. I think Russ was a badass, and he handled it in a way that I think was totally awesome. And so good for Russ. You know, he did what he had to do. But when I notice what's happening with this new young group, it really makes me upset. I don't think that it's good for the negativity to spread in, for all these players to feel like the city is cheering for them to lose. And I don't like the way that Andrew Schleck has been picking at Darius Bazley and trying to get into a fight with him because he wants to be a part of the storyline so desperately. I don't like the way that they are continuously asking questions that are implying like that they're surprised that the players are good. Like Andrew said, he, you know, was so surprised that Hami was actually a good player. He would have traded him for anything, any asset. He didn't think he was worth a minimum contract, you know, and they won't back off these stances. Now they're like, oh yeah, they're good, but maybe that he's about a ninth best player on the team. And then he has the balls to like, to ask SGA, are you as surprised as we are about how good Hami is playing? It's like, it's an inappropriate question. Okay. Because they're friends, they're brothers. And asking Bazley an antagonistic question about how his brother was traded away to another team, trying to create a storyline about a text thread, it's bullshit. It's offensive.
Yeah.
These are their brothers.
This goes back to why we started, because when Mark and I were sitting in that conference room at the with Karl Malone's lawyer, we're sitting there, Mark asked one thing that was pretty much the whole deciding factor in 2004 of why we started this. Mark said to him, said, hey, Carl, there's one thing that you felt you didn't get a fair treatment on. What was it? Remember what he said? He said the media.
The media
treated him like shit. And that's when Mark and I get in the car, and we get in the car, and we look at each other like, dude, if we started a radio station that was all about the players and making them look good, this would be huge.
And I just want to say,
look at us, 16 years later.
Carl was right. Okay, if you... At that point, when I met him, I was a little afraid of him. I felt like he was a jerk. He handled the media a lot the way Russ did, and he would kind of seem like he was upset. So when I met Carl, I anticipated that he would sort of be a jerk, and he was the nicest guy ever. And I've gone back and I've listened to interviews, and I realized that, like, yeah, the certain media would ask him certain questions in a way that would make him react, and they would always do the same thing. And it was a certain members. But when he would sit down and he was just himself on a one-on-one interview, he was the greatest guy. And that's the guy I met. That's the guy I got to hang out with. You know, and he told me about his business. He told me about all the trucks he has and the big, you know, the big jobs that they do, moving trees and tearing, you know, up land and semis and all of the work he does. And he invited us to go hunting and everything. And I realized, like the media is so committed to making these people look bad, and I'm seeing it happen with a group of college-age kids. I mean, these players on our team are the same age as some of my kids, and I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we being so critical? Like, if anybody was that critical of my kid, I would have something to say, because I'd say, look at the potential, don't look at the mistakes. I'm not saying my kids don't make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but what I'm saying is, it's about how you focus on it, and that's why I was, you know, I'm calling out Daily Thunder. That's why I'm calling out the other podcasts, because all you want to do is focus on negativity.
Yeah, and this comes back to when I was a young coach, and I was coaching, at the time, I was coaching junior high basketball. And I brought my dad, and I was really working on developmental. So I bring my dad, and I ask him to come watch a game to give me pointers on coaching, because he spent a lot of his years coaching. And he says, after he spent the entire game watching me, he said, I got one thing for you. He's like, let these players develop. He's like, put them in positions that are going to be difficult for them. But he's like, let these players develop. You've got a great young core. You need to let these guys develop and turn into something. Because if you keep on overcoaching them and overdoing things with them, you're going to destroy them. And that's what we're watching with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and what Coach Stegnaw is doing. He is doing an amazing job at developing, making sure these guys get the right rest they need if they're a vet. He's making sure they don't go over 30 minutes. Some of them, he's not giving back-to-back games. Like, we absolutely love what Coach is doing with these guys right now to make sure that they are developing at their max.
Right. We have a young coach. We have a young team. We have a team that doesn't have much experience together. Let's do what Oklahomans do. Let's rally behind them. Let's cheer for them every day. and let's give them the support that they deserve, because every single time they step out on the court, they rep our city. It says OKC. It says our state. It says everything that you need to know. You don't need to be like, oh, well, they don't have Kevin Durant. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but Kevin never loved you as much as you loved him. It's time to move on. Let's move on together, and let's look at what we have. Let's cheer for Isaiah Roby, Kenrich Williams, Poku, Maladon. Let's cheer for the deep end of the bench, because that's what we do. We don't just sit there and cheer for the stars. I don't know where this idea has infected the minds of the people, but it's wrong. We don't just cheer for the stars. We cheer for everybody. You know, and when the last player on the end of the bench gets a minute, we cheer for them too.
And I just think it's important that we continue to stand up for the players in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And for us, we recognize that we're not sitting here talking shit on our players. We're standing here defending each one of them. If you listen to every single thing that we've said for the first 22 episodes, it's positive about the Oklahoma City Thunder players.
And it's
we don't care if we're shitting down the throats of the Oklahoma City media, because they've done such a horrible job.
Right. Their job is to cover the
years.
Team. Their job is to cover the team, not become a part of the story, not cover their fantasy. Their job is to cover the team. Like, don't hide behind the fact that you're a journalist, unless you're going to have journalistic integrity. Like, you're not an entertainment journalist. That's where you would sit there and you would just fantasize and tell everybody about what you wanted. That would be entertainment.
Yeah, like, go watch The Bachelor.
Like, and if you want a number one pick, go cheer for the Warriors, because they have a lot of them. Like, go cheer for the Lakers, because they have one. You know, just pick. Wait till somebody gets picked number one, and then go cheer for them. But our team,
Timberwolves has a lot of them.
Our team doesn't have number one picks. It's never had number one picks. If you can't get behind a blue collar, scrappy, every man does their job team, then you're not a representative of the city. Your platform is used to be divisive, and we're going to call you out for it. That's our choice, is to do whatever we want with our platform. And our platform, we're going to use to tell you that you're wrong. And you might ignore us, okay, but you're not going to be able to forget that we exist. Somewhere on your phone, there's a podcast that exists that is calling you out for your shit. And if you're going to keep on doing, like, the bullshit you did to George Hill Royce, then I'm going to call you out for it, because that was bullshit. That entire article was written in a way to create hysteria around COVID in a time of a pandemic. History will look back at people who did things like that poorly, and if it doesn't, then it's a mistake, because what you did was terrible. George Hill has no family that lives in Oklahoma. For you to, like, perpetuate this idea that he was just going out to have fun with his friends, you wrote the article in a way that made it sound like he was not going to comply with the rules, which he was. But he was saying, is it really worth it if we can't see our families? Is it worth it if we have to put our whole lives on hold? That's not how the article was written. It was all sensationalized. It was all about him not wanting to comply with the rules. The truth is, he doesn't have family in Oklahoma. When he goes on the road, it's the only time he can see his family. So if he can't leave his room to see his family, he has to put his whole life on hold. I'm sorry. Like, that's how the story should have been written. The story should have been written in a way where it takes in the perspective of different players and their situations, not sensationalizing a story based around a pandemic. That's not good reporting. That's not journalistic integrity. And you know what? I'm not a journalist, so I get to call you out on your shit.
Yeah, and let's just put it out there. Like, all these guys, they're showing all these great examples of what they think tanking is. But one of the greatest ways of what tanking is not and rebuilding is, if you look at the Warriors, the greatest super team in the last 15 years, right? Like, we're talking about somebody that really did stuff right. Okay, so let's go through it. Steph Curry, right? 7th pick in the draft. Klay Thompson, 11th pick in the draft. And, of course, they got lucky in the second round with Draymond Green dropping to 35. But if you look at this team, the super team that they are, they were built by rebuilding properly and doing things intelligently, drafting and letting the player development coaches develop the players.
by the king of rebuilds. It was Jerry West.
Jerry West.
He built
and
the Lakers
what?
In the 80s. He built the Lakers in the 90s. He built that Warriors team. I mean, this is like rebuilding is what he specializes in. It's not a tank job.
Yeah, and I've heard Sam on many occasions through the last 12, 13 years sing praises about Jerry West. So you know he watches him. You know he understands him. You know that he thinks he's one of the greatest GMs of ever. So why wouldn't he want to mimic what he does?
Right. So like, let's think about it. What did Jerry West do when he got to the Clippers? He rebuilt them. He traded away Blake Griffin. He accumulated as many picks as he could, Tobias Harris. He put himself in a position where they could compete for the playoffs, right? And then when there was a chance to get a player like Paul George and trade for him, Paul George wanted to go there. Kawhi wanted to go there. Why? Because that team was in the playoffs. Making it to the playoffs is important to get good players to go. We would never have got Paul George the first time if we weren't making it to the playoffs. A great example from football is when the Denver Broncos made it to the playoffs with Tim Tebow. And Peyton Manning was sitting there being like, I need a team. That team made it to the playoffs. I think I could get them a Super Bowl. And he was right. Making it to the playoffs demonstrates that you're serious about winning and you can get better. So this idea that, like, you have to lose and get, you know, the stench all over you and then you can rise up to be a winner, that's not factual. It doesn't work. And if you're cheering for it, it's taking you away from cheering for the team, and it's hurting the team, it's hurting the community, and somebody needs to say something about it.
Yeah, and I feel like these guys and what they're essentially doing is they're taking, you know, call it an STD grenade or call it a COVID grenade, and they want to take it and they want to throw it in our locker room and lock the doors because they want to infect our locker room with the most shit they can possibly do so it creates turmoil. So we do drop in draft picks. So they are legit. So essentially, they're talking shit on our players to make them feel uncomfortable and not good. In order for their true thing to come out is, it's so good to tank, let's tank. And that's what's the biggest bullshit for us.
Right. So we'll just let you know, tanking is not good. We are not tanking. Sam Presti doesn't tank. That's a Sam Hinkie idea. If you want to tank, if you want to cheer for a team that's tanking, there are plenty of teams that you can go cheer for tanking. Tanking is about stacking the odds so that you have the best chance for the best picks by losing as much as possible, by fielding a non-competitive team. That's the definition of it. Rebuilding means trading away older players to teams that want to compete now for assets so that you can, as fast as possible, compete again like the Clippers did, like Jerry West has done over and over and over and over again. This is how NBA basketball championships are won. It's not through losing. That all you get through losing is access to the highest picks. But guess what happens when the highest picks get to the point where they get to be free agents and they're tired of losing? Bye, bye, bye. I mean, what do you think Karl Anthony Towns would ever for anything re-sign with the Timberwolves? But never. Why the hell would he do that? He hasn't been able to be as successful. He hasn't been able to achieve what he thinks he's capable of. And it's all because they can't get out of losing. I mean, they have all the number one picks. They've had four in the last, decade. I mean, think about it. Like, the Cavs, they racked up all those number one picks. The only one that mattered was LeBron. And it wasn't picking him that made them win the championship. He came as a free agent. Number one picks, top prospects and stuff like that, you know, when they become free agents and they're really in their prime, they make the decisions to go wherever they want. Players like Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, like when you demonstrate loyalty to them, like they're more loyal to you. But when they're a number one pick, they think they're the greatest. So, yeah, I understand exactly why Andrew Schleck wants a number one pick.
Yeah, but Andrew Schleck also thinks that it's impossible to like a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder and cheer for them to win 45 games every single year. And that's what's so frustrating to me is because why can't we win 40, 45 games every year? Like, we have 17 draft picks in the next 5 years. So why aren't we just sitting back and seeing what happens with those? Because guess what? If we're tanking, we're not going to be good anyways for the next 5 years. So why not see what Sam is doing and seeing if this is legitimate enough for us as a fan base to get behind, because we definitely believe it's legit. All these other guys are talking shit. They have no idea what's coming up. They have no idea.
Right. If you're waiting until, like, we go on to win more games than you expected, like, you don't get to claim to be an expert. Like, your job is to see what's happening, and like Lou Dort, you beat it to the point. You beat it where it's going. You don't wait until, like, the future has already been played out. That's not your job as a reporter. Like, your job is to tell us what's happening on the court, not what you wish was going on the court. We're not losing as much as you want, so you're being all negative? Like, I'm just tired of hearing people actively cheering for losing and hoping that our players do bad things and hoping our players, like, aren't going to play. Like, I've heard people hope that George Hill just goes home. I've heard people hope that Darius Bazley misses tonight. I've heard people hope all sorts of negative things. It's the most negative mindset. And I would say all this to anybody's face who is in my face at any point at all. At all. This is not something I would just say behind, a podcast. Like, I'd stand by this. And all day I would say this to anybody's face. And I won't stop.
And you have. And you have. And I've been there when you've gotten in arguments with what they call themselves diehard Oklahoma City fans when they're literally looking at us saying, the only way to win is being tanking. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, do you guys not watch basketball, the history of the game? What it is you have to get lucky. How did Magic get Shaq? They got lucky, right? Okay. How did the Knicks get Ewing? Okay. How did all these other teams get these guys? They got lucky. And there's nothing else you can do about that. So if you sit back and you're trying to control your draft pick and say, I want a top pick. Well, guess what? The worst team doesn't always get the number one pick. I mean, look at this last year. The Warriors sucked ass, but they got the second pick of the draft. Yes, it's the second pick, and still it's awesome. But that's not even guaranteed, because the second best team in the entire draft, or the second worst team in the entire draft, right, they got the fourth pick. So it's so strange how this is all working out. It's so strange how people think that they know what's going on with the Thunder.
Right, and it hasn't proven to work yet either. Like, and then, first of all, the Warriors getting that pick, it hasn't proven to work. Second of all, it was a product of injury. They didn't tank. When Klay got hurt and Steph got hurt, they weren't going to compete. Like, that's just a matter of fact. Like, it was an injury thing. It was a lot like what happened with the Spurs when they got David Robinson. I mean, when they got Tim Duncan, when David Robinson got hurt. Like, that happens. Injuries happen. Your team isn't competitive, and you get top picks. That doesn't mean that you go and you make decisions from a management perspective to field a less or non-competitive team. So I just think I think you and I have said, enough about it probably on this podcast. Like, if anybody's still listening, which I'd be surprised if anybody is, I think they get our point. Like, it's important to use the right words. And if you're going to talk about a tank, talk about a tank. If you're going to talk about a rebuild, talk about a rebuild. But the Oklahoma City Thunder are not in the middle of a tank. We're in the middle of a rebuild. And the difference is, a tank, then you'd be right. Don't go cheer for the team. I mean, you can't go, but don't support the team. But if you're in the middle of a rebuild, then you should start buying the rookie cards. That's what it means.
Yeah, and we're watching SGA grow up incredibly fast in front of us. We're watching Bazley take these massive leaps. We're watching Dort not only take these massive leaps, but now he's such a focal point of our offense that the defense can't forget where he's at ever. Now we have all these other players that we're just watching develop into big-time players. And everybody has asked us that are legitimately looking at this Thunder team saying, is this the building blocks to our team? And everything else that we add is just that, adding on. And right. Mark and I have said every single time, yes, because this team right here is SGA, Bazley, Maladone, Poku. I mean, we could go down the list of these guys that are developing into everyday starters, and not just here, but they would be everyday contributors on most NBA teams.
And I'll say it again. If this isn't good enough for you, go cheer for somebody else. Go cheer for somebody else. If this
go cheer for the Timberwolves.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take the Thunder, and you motherfuckers can go cheer for somebody else.
Yeah, like, listen, this is what we're doing right now is we're shitting down the throats of the Oklahoma City media, and we are making sure that the Oklahoma City Thunder players and fans recognize that we're standing up for the players. If you can't get behind us for that, if you can't stand behind us saying we support the players and not what the Oklahoma City media has been doing, then we don't want you listening to our show. We want you people that are here to support our Oklahoma City Thunder fans, our city. This is about the name on the jerseys that they are representing. And that's why we're here talking about it.
Yeah, they represent us, so we cheer for them. I mean, it's a very simple trade-off. And if anybody has trouble with that, go cheer for a different team or go fuck yourself.
And anybody that says the media doesn't have a voice and getting kids to leave, getting players to leave, just look at the Knicks.
Well, like Royce Young and Barry Trammell did every day with Russ by, you know, questioning his shot quality and stuff like that. Like, you make them angry. You make them bitter. And then they don't really like you. And the thing that all the fans say to dehumanize the players is the same thing. They say, well, they're making millions of dollars. But it doesn't give you a right to treat a human being like shit.
Yeah, I mean, these are our guys. I feel like these are like our nephews that we're watching on the basketball court. Like, you can't sit there and say that you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan and completely destroy the player when you get a chance to interview him. You're like, that's just not how it goes. Like, first of all, every single interview should be like, I just want to say thank you, Al Horford, for playing for the Thunder this year. Thank you, George Hill, for getting separated from your family to be able to play with the Oklahoma City Thunder, because this means a lot to the city right now, especially during a pandemic, and everybody here is glued to the TVs watching you guys. So it means a lot to us. Like, we should be thanking these guys. Yes, they get paid millions and millions of dollars, but guess what? They represent our city.
And that's what the media has done. They've made the entire fan base afraid to fall in love with this team. And we're here to say, don't be afraid to fall in love with the team. Watch the games. Something special is happening right now. There's 17 picks. They're coming, but don't fixate on them. Fixate on what's happening on the court. That's an important thing. Enjoy SGA's
direction. Pick one or two players, a player on the starters and a player on the bench, and pick those players to be your favorite Thunder players this year. And just watch how they develop and tell me that this is not something that's exciting. Because guess what? If you watch every single one of these guys in the 11 games that we have played, there is a night and day difference between game one and game 11. And this is what I got to say about that too, is that this also, like we have brought up in the past, this has been a season where there's no off season. And these guys are being developed this quickly with no off season. It is mind blowing.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for any more from a rookie who's 19 years old. That's bullshit. Let you and your family go around doing that. That's fine, okay? But we're going to cheer for the Thunder. And if you don't want to, that's fine. I don't care, but stop acting like you are when you're cheering for us to lose. That's not cheering for the Thunder. That's cheering for ping pong balls, okay? You can cheer for ping pong balls.
And I talked to recently one of our Twitter followers, incredibly nice lady from Texas. She's a part-time artist. And I was really impressed with the fact that she was a Texan and an Oklahoma City fan. Because growing up in Oklahoma and being part of the Oklahoma community for so long, in order to like a sports team, we had to either go to Texas or Kansas, right? I mean, Missouri. Like, I mean, that is all we had. So typically, we would go with the Dallas Mavericks, or we would go and watch different stuff like that. So it's really exciting to see the Oklahoma City young players bringing in fans, even from Texas.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us for Gary England's Last Storm. This is Mark.
It's Dave. Thunder up.